Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate. I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we are being joined by Nancy Parker. Nancy is an intuitive guide and core intelligence coach. She is founder of In Body Wisdom, co-founder of Ecstatic Dance San Diego, and creator of Sacred Play. For over two decades, she has been helping people access healing in their bodies through aligned movement, relating, and play. She is honored to share these keys with the growing community. Nancy, welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're excited as well. When we connected with you and you shared with us your journey, your story, this work that you are doing, we felt like this was definitely a conversation we wanted to have, because I think, you know, awakenings can feel like such a mental and spiritual and emotional experience. And we don't necessarily think of it, I think, straight off the bat as my body as part of this experience as well. So really excited to share the work that you do and how, you know, our body is a portal for our healing. But before we dive into that, I'm sure there was a journey that got you to here, and that at some point in that journey, there was an awakening of sorts for yourself. Would you like to share with us how this began in your life and kind of where, what it was that began to open the door for you to step into such work?
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. It's like opening a can of worms. It's a very big question. And what really started it, well, I mean, I think even as a child, I was very sensitive. I was highly sensitive, but of course, trained that right out to function in society. But the reawakening happened. I was 29 and someone, a beloved, passed away quite tragically, suddenly. And my whole world, like I just couldn't function. Like we were living together. I had to figure out, I had just moved to a new state like a year or two before. And I knew not too many people. And suddenly I was like, I don't even know. I can't even function. Somehow through grace, through magic, through synchronicity, whatever you want to call it, through divine alignment, I found myself a spa. I knew I couldn't I couldn't do what I needed to do to function and take care of myself in San Diego at the time. And so I started looking for jobs at spas where I could live and work. And I found there was one just across the border in Tecate, Mexico, Rancho La Puerta. So I wound up getting a job there, felt held in this beautiful cocoon. The mountain, the land felt so magical. The Kumeyaay Indians in the area and, you know, the others, like just really infused the land with a lot of energy. And I would, in between working and teaching, just go out on the mountain, just go out and sink into nature and really feel the energy of the land there. But, you know, I would be out at this beautiful rock formation and start having these experiences, but my very strong left brain rational self would just talk myself out of them. I'm just crazy. I'm just making it up. It's just all in my head. Da, 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 da. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've had that experience. You can relate. I mean, I had been doing that for years to a certain degree, but it had been building and building and building. And so while I was there, one of the healers there is a cranial sacral therapist. And one evening after dinner, I was walking back to my room and I felt a reason. I felt a need to turn around just for no reason. And he was quite far behind me, but behind me. And I said, I don't know why I turned around just now. He said, well, because I was vibing you. I was like pinging you to get you to turn around. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay. He's like, do you want to go for a walk? There's a beautiful oak grove and a labyrinth and, you know, some rocks and a kind of a nature sculpture out off part of the property. And I said, sure. You know, I had a great relationship with him, but just professional. And we walked out to this little rock formation area where there's a lot of it. It's like a basically a giant antenna pointing up at where is supposed to be a sacred site, a sacred burial ground and a sacred site for the Kumeye. And like I said, I'd spent lots of time out there, had all these made up experiences in my mind. And in that experience with him, and the next day we actually talked with words, the experience. So the words I'm giving didn't come until the next day. We actually were not speaking. We were just out there playing. I had an experience of him feeling my energy field and feeling how when I was closed and he would stop and not come closer. And then when I would relax and open and I would feel myself do that, and he, like from, 25 yards away, would sense it and step in a little closer. And then he'd hit my edge again and I'd contract and then I'd relax and he'd step in a little closer. So we had this whole completely non-physical, no physical touch experience where I was witnessing him reflect to me my inner state through energy. And it went on. So that went on for a while. And then we went to walk, and it beyond words, I can't even describe. Then we went to walk the labyrinth. And as we walked the labyrinth together, I had this whole experience of little Nancy, little girl, and dad. And we were walking this journey, healing some things that my little girl needed to heal from my dad, feeling the care and the love. I mean, my dad was amazing. I just lost him earlier this year. Amazing man. Cared and loved me the best he could, given the tools he had. That being said, my parents are both amazing, but you know, we all can only do the best we can. So I was doing this journey and I literally was like this journey of healing my little girl of all the things I needed to hear, but didn't hear as a sensitive soul. Like no one knew what to do with highly sensitive. They didn't even know what highly sensitive people were, much less knew how to navigate with them. Mm-hmm. Children do what you're told, speak and not, you know, heard and are not seen and not heard, or, you know, whatever all those cliches were. So I had this journey through the labyrinth, through the center, super healing, went back to my room that night, like WTF, like what just happened? Simultaneously, like deeply nourished and slightly freaked out, not in a like, you know, but like, whoa, that was okay. I need to talk to this man. So I talked to him the next day and his words were, my intention was to give you an experience of energy. And I was very clear that there was to be no physical contact because I wanted it to be a clear transmission. And I'm like, well, what if somebody witnessed it? He's like, well, so what? What would they have witnessed? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It just felt, like witchery, you know, we're going to be burned at the stake kind of thing. But it was so like after that, those moments that I would have where I would think, oh, it's just in my head. I no longer had that experience. I'm like, oh, this experience is real. This awakening of, and I could feel, you know, like as I was saying, he would step into my, and he'd feel my body would contract. Oh, I'd feel it was safe. I'd feel my physical body and and he'd feel my energy body open. He'd come closer. I'm like, oh, this energy thing is real. This spirit thing. I mean, we were channeling from the moon down through our bodies, down through the earth, and all like my hands were doing these movements. I have no idea what any of it was, but it was like clearly directing energy from the moon through my body, through the earth, through his body up. And we created this total energetic circuit. I'm like, oh. Okay. So hence began my study of energy medicine and awakening and, you know, tantra and all the different mystery schools from way back and all the esoteric studies and training, because like, I'm just going to say it, this shit is real.
Yeah. Yeah. Nancy, I want to say I really resonate with your experience of you're feeling it, but you dismiss it. So part of my journey, I learned to read the Akashic Records. That was a journey that kind of led me to explore, okay, how do I develop my intuitive abilities more? So I took a course in mediumship that had a component to it where we had to practice in a group. In this practice setting, I wasn't bringing through messages from people who'd passed. I was channeling. And I was like, what is this channeling thing? And so that really sparked my curiosity. I actually wasn't at all interested in mediumship, but I was there to learn to channel. And then that led me on a path of wanting to understand more about how to, you know, strengthen that connection, took more courses. One of the things was, as a practice, to do that every day. And so I did. And I would be sitting in the room on my own, channeling, practicing this channeling. And I had one particular window of experiences where my brain in this moment feels like it's a challenge to say it, but it's like I had a connection with a part of consciousness that was such a visceral feeling in my physical body and my energetic field that, you know, it's just like, whoa, like that I was, where am I getting that feeling from? Like I'm getting not only the message, but this vibrational energetic experience in my body that almost made me feel like I was in an altered state, like I'm dreaming. Yet when I read back this message, I'm like, wow, that's profound. And then I do, I sit there in this room on my own going, what just happened? Was that real? Like, and my brain's like, oh no, you're probably just like trying really hard. So there's that sense of tension in your head. But, you know, I know there's a part of me that's like, no, actually, you know, there's an energetic connection when we are tapped into something else. So absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That is also, yes, validating and also exciting, you know?
Yeah. Very exciting.
To tap in and to let things flow through that way. Also for me, a little scary, like the thought of that. I've always been like, no, I don't want to see things. No, I don't. Like, I'm a clairsentient. I'm okay with things coming in through feeling. Sometimes I know things. I don't necessarily want to know them, but I can handle that. But I don't want to. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Like how you mentioned, or what resonated with me, well, a lot resonated with me, but something that I'm working with right now is connecting, being aware of my left brain and how it's running the show and integrating the two hemispheres of my brain to, it almost feels like a triangle between my heart and like the two hemispheres of my brain almost. And so much can come in when there's this coherence between the three parts. And so that's just what I'm currently in right now. So to hear you mention, I mean, the recognition of this side of our brain and how much it comes up for all of us, right? I think I'm learning a lot of the conversations and a lot of stories that I'm hearing from people on their path to accessing more of their gifts and abilities. It's like you have to go through this process of maybe undeveloping the developed side of ourselves that constantly negates everything we experience. And it can be the most profound thing. And yet that side can come in and cause us to doubt it. And so that's a process of working with it, not necessarily getting rid of it, but not letting it run the show all the time and have it not be in charge all the time. So being more conscious to the role it's playing in our experience.
100%. Amanda, you said so much there that just lights me up. And that's a huge part of the way I walk through the world and you know, the spaces I create for people and help create for themselves. One, I've never thought of it like that triangle. So I love that visual of like left brain, right brain, heart, and like that downward facing triangle, which to me is like also kind of like grounded in the heart, you know, like there's this like downward in
like a funnel almost. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, as I've mentioned, as you said, like we can tend to in our culture, we glorify and we praise and we reward left brain, rational, logical, more masculine traits of doing and doing. And when I first awaken, I actually had a hard time functioning in society again, because I went to like I think of it like a pendulum swing. You know, it's like we're all the way over here. And so, and then we go, oh, wait a minute, but there's something over here. And then eventually we kind of go, ooh. And then we get to feel like, oh, right now it's better to be a little over here. I need to be doing some spreadsheet or accounting or whatever. And then, oh, I'm coming into creation and now I'm over here. And so this idea of integration is so huge. And it's a huge part of the work that, that I share and just the way that I move through the world. And I love that you straight up said it. It's not like we're trying to get rid of anything. We're not trying to get rid of our ego. We're not trying to get rid of our mind. We're just integrating it in with the wisdom of our heart and of our body, of our gut, of our root, of our base. So it becomes a whole integrated system making a decision. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really
integrity. Yeah.
Yeah. And it speaks to like wholeness, because that is really who we are. Like, we need our ego to function. It is our interface with the world. It's how we can express that part of ourselves, you know. A big part of the work that I've had to do through my own awakening was the unhealthy expression of my ego that just dominated, you know, and dampened everything else. And when that was out of the way, it was like, okay, yeah, the pendulum swings. It's like, there's something else. But how do we marry the two to be the, you know, highest expression of ourselves and, you know, through all of the parts that make us what we are?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the big question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's also, I think for me, if we're alive as humans, it's an ongoing process. Like, it's, yes, you can become more masterful at it. And I feel like I have. Are there moments that completely throw me out of it? 100%. 100%. You go into survival mode, you go back into the, you know, the reptile brain, you're in like, oh my God, what's happening here? And yeah, there goes the integration, there goes the balance, there goes the homeostasis right out the window. There goes all the things that I've been sharing with people for years to do that I've been doing for myself. Like, how perfectly human, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we're stressed and when we're, you know, emotional and when hormones are going crazy or whatever all the various things of life are, it definitely makes that more challenging. But, you know, in the body, there's a whole system called Brain Gym, GYM. I didn't create that, but it's one of the tools that I use for creating whole brain integration. There's a, you know, it's probably books on whole brain integration now too, but, you know, there's a bunch of little fun body-based things you can do to reintegrate. Energy medicine tools that can show you, and even our developmental movement patterns. So one of the systems I created out of desperation when I had a broken heel and couldn't walk or dance for way too long, and also out of inspiration from the work, from the study in the school that I've done, is I've taken developmental movement patterns. The patterns that we, from embryo into birth, into infancy, into adulthood, actually shape our movement, are woven in with our psychology and our emotions and our actual development of all of our, so all of our systems. We're talking about wholeness. We're talking about like systems integration, coherence, like all these things I get really excited about. So feel free to slow me down.
No, you're good. Keep going.
So the primal play movements are based on these developmental movement patterns and getting us as adults to do them as a way to resynchronize all of our body systems, to bring us back into balance, to bring us back into coherence, to bring us back into like all systems online functioning together versus one going hyper and one asleep at the wheel, right? It like helps to realign our body through the body, but on all the levels, not just the physical body, but the emotional and the mental. And so it has that capacity to actually create that higher level alignment. And, you know, my work years ago started just with physical body stuff. But as my path progressed and as my, you know, hurdles came up and as I, you know, keep asking why, it's progressed to include, you know, those. And as I recognize higher levels of operating and awareness and, you know, higher dimensional levels, like, yeah, my work has gradually included and stacked upon that foundation of the body.
Well, do you want to share? Yeah.
I'm going to breathe now.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'll go.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah. So my background's in naturopathic medicine and my favorite professor, he, you know, he did all the physical things. You know, a lot of it was getting people to eat right, to do the things to support normal function. But when it really came down to it, to heal on a deeper, profound level, it always went back to healing the nervous system. And he did that through a protocol using homeopathy, where he addressed through a developmental sequence the different phases of development of the brain. And so it's like, it's so cool to see the different systems they have different approaches, but it's kind of, it's addressing in the same way that fundamental, what's underlying much of our imbalance is that is our nervous system in terms of keeping us in balance, in as best state of health, you know, to heal those traumas essentially that are underlying everything. You know, it's those traumas from development that are causing our issues later in life that, you know, it doesn't matter what we eat, it's still there because it's something very primitive that needs to be addressed. And only through, I think that sounds so cool, using the movements that maybe if we skip a stage in our developmental process, we miss that. And so we missed something important for that we needed. Maybe you can go more into that in terms of like what you've seen or what, how it works or what any more insight you can have about the primal movements. Cause that sounds very fascinating to me.
First, when you were speaking, what was first coming up for me is, and I heard one of my original teachers say, it doesn't matter what pathway you go in. So if physical body is your expertise, you go in through the physical body. If the health is, you know, the naturopath is your expertise, you go in. But ultimately, you're going to get, if you're looking at the whole system, if you're not Western medicine, that's, you know,
yes.
If you're looking at the whole system, no matter which way you go in, you're ultimately tapping into what the underlying root imbalance is. And you're going to address it, whether it's through physical movement or through homeopathy or through acupuncture or through energy healing or, you know, whatever the modality is. And to be honest, different people need different tools. The same thing won't always work for the same person. However, one of the things that is from the physical body perspective, I can take someone through some of the basic, like a few of the basic developmental patterns from literally from breathing, as you mentioned in the opening meditation, like this breath is like this, like, whoa. It's just like mind blowing. Most of us will be like, well, we breathe all the time. What are you talking about? But, you know, like maybe not the people who are listening to this type of podcast, but you know, the breath is this miracle tool. And from how we breathe, we can tell a lot about if our system's holding trauma. And without even needing to know the story attached to it, we could potentially just using the breath, use that to open up and to unblock or to move some of the trauma. So I look at how they breathe. I don't tell them. I'm just talking to them while they're breathing and I'm just noticing. So then we see what's happening with the breath naturally before they start to think, oh, she's watching me breathe. Let me do it right. I know I need to know whatever story they know they need to do it right. And then there are a couple of moves. There's an inchward worm pattern, a navel radiation pattern, a crawl pattern. So you can actually have people go through some of these like infant development patterns and start to see whether it was a trauma because, and you know, we use the little T and the big T trauma, but like including both of those, it could have just been as simple as your mom putting you in a jolly jumper before you were ready to be upright and you were jumping and never really learned how to, or your mom wanted you to crawl as fast as wanted you to walk as fast as the neighbors did. So she forced you through the crawl pattern. So you missed that. That actually creates a very physiological trauma. And there are some emotional things that are emotional and psychological development pieces that come along with those that get missed. All we got to do is go back and do them and it starts to reintegrate them. So, you know, that's kind of an example of one of the ways I would play, or like babies being able to reach out for what they desire. Like the reaching pattern is an important one. Reaching and pulling yourself towards something you want, or pushing away from something you don't want. Like it's huge with people who have boundaries. Like I can just play with reaching and pulling and pushing and yielding, and in the next couple of weeks, start to hear stories about what's happening in their relationships and like what's shifting and what's different, like glitches now coming up because now they're getting a little better at their boundaries and it's creating ruffling some feathers and, you know, and shifting some patterns that some people around them maybe aren't so happy about, but they are. So ultimately are. It's just, you get to, you know, deal with the shakeout from, you know, when we start changing things. So yeah, that's a solid like first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. And I think so powerful because we're not necessarily needing to go to the story. We're going to that innate need. And like, it just makes me think, you know, how important it is in those early years as a child to receive that, you know, back and forth connection with a parent. And you know, we had a conversation with someone else, or I think it was Amanda said it the other day, about like, we need the time we need to develop. We just need that. Like, if we're fast, we're fast. If we're slow, we're slow, right? So that we go through all those stages of, it's almost like a knowing of ourselves, that experiencing to be the best version of us we can be, or as full of the fullness we can be at a young age, to like know ourselves. And when any of that's missed, like it's like a chink, like a missing link in the chain of, okay, something doesn't feel right here. How do I feel that? You know, I compensate, or I want to put something in there, you know, that's not necessarily healthy for me as an adult. And I love that we can, again, I think, you know, from what I've read about trauma, like re-experiencing that doesn't necessarily always help. The talk therapy doesn't always necessarily do anything except take someone into it mentally. And then like, it's in the body is once again what we're talking about. We can work with the energetics, the, you know, even the whatever happened in the brain to set something up to be like, this isn't right, by moving the body to reconnect that. And I just love that idea of that push-pull, like that must be a massive one. And the drawing in of what do I mean? Like, what a healing thing for people to experience literally just through, you know, that activation. I can change my life by really getting this missing piece that I didn't have when I was younger to, like you said, like feel that strength to set a boundary.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's really powerful. And, you know, I call it primal play because this idea, well, one, getting adults to crawl, forget about it. They're like, ego, I'm not doing this childish thing. But if you put it in the guise of play and you put on a fun song and then we have a whole group of us doing it, or, you know, I've done the deeper repatterning work with people one-on-one, but I usually do the primal play as a group. I love group field work. So much power happens in groups, especially coherent groups. And, you know, one of my like things is like just us breathing breaths together at the start of this, like coherence, our hearts are all connected, we're all here together. I love that. And creating those spaces, because that is where magic happens, right? That is where when there's a coherent field, you know, I call it coherent containers for creation, right? The more coherent they are, the more charged, the more potential for, you know, result, for ahas, for breakthroughs. So in the primal play groups, you know, you have a whole group of adults who are all being bears or being lizards or being, you know, fish or whatever it is we're doing in that pattern in that moment. And then it patterns start to come up. You see where people are more comfortable or able to move or not able to move. And that's a place where, you know, you can go a little deeper and start doing the reprogramming. But it's just so much fun. And it lets the adults bypass their adult serious brain and actually go in and do the deep healing. It's amazing what happens at the end of those classes. Now I have a whole, you know, process we go through, and then we come and kind of have a little sharing, heart sharing at the end. So we have space for integration as well, but it's really fun. There was another piece and it just flew right out my head. I don't know what it was. So just let that
happen. I'll just say that I imagine the primal exercises are a beneficial piece of it, but also giving adults the permission, the encouragement to play also unlocks something as well. So I imagine that brings them back to that period of development, right? As well, not just the motions, it's like an energy that they're stepping into that they might not be living in on their day-to-day life, right? And so I think there's a quote that's like something along the lines, it takes so many repetitions, like in the hundreds, to learn something. But when you play, it takes like a very small fraction of that larger amount. I don't remember the numbers exactly, but if you do it through play, so the rewiring, I imagine, is just faster through play.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a scientific study, and I don't remember the exact numbers anymore either. But so it takes like if you're doing it right, because I've come from a very precise movement, kind of therapeutic movement, a fusion of physical therapy and personal training, like the building blocks of the physical work that I do is very precise. And the idea was like, if you learn a new movement, a new motor program, learning a new motor program can take between 100 and 300 or 350 repetitions if you're doing it well. If you already have one in there that's wrong, like a virus software running, you have a faulty or a compensation pattern running, it can take as many as 10 times that. So, you know, 3,500 times to reprogram it in the brain. However, when you add play, it shrinks it right back down again and happens much faster. So actually the study is the movement and then the play is a whole new element to it. So that's like the layer two. And I'm not sure what the research is around that, but I've heard that quote as well. And it's true. Play breaks down barriers. Play for most people, but not all, is the fastest way to create trust, to get people to relax, to get people to open. So some people have trauma around play. So that's why, you know, not everything is 100% any, I'm not an all or none, everything or nothing kind of always or never, but you know, generally play is a really great way to do that. And what you reminded me of is, you know, a lot of the patterns, a lot of the traumas happen not before we were verbal, before we had enough cognition to even give them words. So even if we could remember it and talk about it, which most of the time we can't, even if it happened later in life because we suppress it and hide it. One of my teachers, Thomas Hubel, talks about we tune into the cosmic address. So like we just can feel the energy of it. So as a healer, as a therapist, as I don't call myself a healer because the person heals themselves, but I'm a guide. But as someone supporting healing and others, you know, you can feel the glitch, you can sense what it's created, and you can kind of follow the thread back to just like you type in your web browser, awakening conversations, right? Mm-hmm. Boom. And then it comes up your website or your podcast, right? You can start to type, you know, kind of type in through the being, just through their name even, like start to access the cosmic address of who this person is and the experiences that have created them. And then you go back and you feel that little glitch. But even if you don't have the ability to do any of that, just going back through the developmental movement patterns, just going through the infant development patterns will pick up and catch any of those little pieces. And where you find the glitch for the person doing the movement, you work that process until the glitch resolves itself and they're doing it well. And then likely something else has changed in their life or is changing as a result of it.
How long does it usually take for people when they've, you know, located, you know, a particular movement that's hits an edge? Because like I hear you at night, for me, play is a challenge. I think I was always getting in trouble for being too rowdy or, you know, it was always shut down quite a lot. So I, you know, have some two best friends from high school who was come from the opposite, you know, like have these playful families and like even as adults, like they just want to make things up and do stuff. And I'm sitting in that corner of the room, like feeling so uncomfortable, wanting to join in, but like not knowing how to free myself to be so free and play. You know, how do you really help someone through that? And when they've, you know, stuck like that, how long does it really take for someone to kind of have an experience to shift into then being able to get into the movements? And then if they find a glitch within there, like, what do you see?
Yeah. Well, I'll start by saying one of my original movement teachers talks about people in terms of, so like you have people who are like more like sloth and people who are more like cheetahs. And then there's a full spectrum in between. And so getting to, I mean, he's kind of egoic and he would call people motor morons, like people who just, you say it like 1,000 times and they're still not getting it. Right. And then you have people you say it once and they're like on it, got it, done. Next, right? So first, feeling into the being in front of you to feel what their processing speed is, what their system speed is important. Because if you're trying to push someone to be a cheetah who is a salamander or a sloth, like everyone's going to get really frustrated with that and probably quit. So there is no one answer. I can't say, oh, you know, it happens after one session. However, and it also depends on how defended their ego is, how invested they are in whatever benefit, and I'll do this benefit, they're getting from holding on to this pattern. It doesn't, you know, inside we think, well, I'm not getting any benefit. This sucks and I want it to change. But like somewhere under there, we know there's something that is, you know, whether it's the benefit of the comfort of the known versus moving into the unknown. Oh, the unknown is scary, but I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just going to stay here because I know and it's comfortable. So it could be something as small as that or something, you know, much more nefarious or bigger. However, I will say that for the most part, I can see people start to change after they do. I mean, some of them happen first time, broken open, you know. For most people, I would say generally when I work with people, I try to work with them for 3 months because for sure something major is at least one major thing is going to shift in that time, if not several, depending again on where they are on that spectrum. So when I'm doing one-on-one work with people, I really like to have that 3 month commitment because it takes plus the integration because you can have the aha, like you could have that moment, Kate, where you're like play and it's so amazing and I broke through. And then like 2 weeks later, you're in a different situation and you're back to like, you know, and so it's okay. Now, how do we take that and make it the new habit? How do we integrate it into being instead of, because a lot of people go to the retreats, the weekend workshops, they have this huge, like a cathartic and oh, and life is never going to be the same. And then they go right back to their own old life, their old way of being, because it's habit, because it's pattern, because it's comfortable. And so having that support system around you, whether it's a community or a coach or a mentor or whatever, or all of those, is the essential piece in the ongoing integration. And let's face it, life will work you. Once you have that, you will be tested. Thomas Sowell calls that the second test. The first test is having the awareness, having the awakening. The second test is now what? How do we know this and still walk through the world without completely forgetting that?
And then another awareness and then another test and then another awareness. You know, it's like once you start, but it gets easier, right? The more that you learn how to navigate it.
We expand our capacity. You know, at first it feels like, you know, the old school tops that spin where they just have that one little point on the bottom and you're spinning and you're like, oh my God, this is a delicate balance. I'm going to topple over. And that's kind of what I experienced when I first had my awakening is like, how do I exist in this material 3D world, knowing all this other stuff is happening and still function and still hold it all together and still relate with other people and not go live in a cave somewhere, which is what I really wanted to do, literally. Just going to go crawl under a rock. But then with each time we have some new opportunity to walk that new awareness, to walk with that awakening and to bring it into who we're being, that little bitty base gets a little wider and a little wider and a little wider until eventually you have that nice, nice round, big, huge base, like a big warm bath, you know, you don't feel like you're going to topple over anymore.
Yeah.
And again, having community, having, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual support, relational support, all can be key in really walking and continuing to upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to go, Kate?
No, you're good.
Okay. Something that came to me from what you said somewhere in our conversation so far, it's this idea that we are so much more resilient than I think we've been made to believe. And sometimes we think we have to stay how we think we are. You know, if we didn't receive something as a baby, I think moms have a lot of guilt. Is like, oh, I damaged my child because I wasn't able to do everything perfectly.
Right.
But what you're saying is that there are ways that we can go back to what was not done at the beginning and reprogram the system, and how if we're willing and able, like we can change our reality through methods like this, right? And that's exciting. We don't have to wait for like the next generation to like, okay, we're gonna have another baby and we can do it right with this one. It's like we can rewrite it right now. And even if we have children, that changes. Like I have children right now. And it's like, oh man, I didn't do things perfectly from the very beginning. And so they have some of my patterns. And so, oh, I should just give up, right? No, it's like, I can still keep working on myself and change my patterns. And that's going to affect them, even if they have those patterns that they absorbed from an early stage. So to me, that's hopeful.
Yes. Yes. You just, again, like hitting the hammer, the nail on the head. And, you know, I don't have children, but 100% what I've seen in both directions is when we do our healing, I know you know this, ladies, it affects before and after. So we keep doing our inner work. We keep giving ourselves the tools and the resource that we didn't have or get as a child. And it has the ripple effect. It has the ability to ripple out and impact, you know, the generations before and the generations after. So 100%. And they don't have to do the primal play movement patterns. It's you changing that will then change the way you relate with them that then allows them to step into that field.
You know? The energy is amazing.
It is. It's wild, you know? I'm like rational, scientific, like my career initially, I was like, you know, breaking down research papers and, you know, like exercise and sports science. I mean, we were in it, you know, like very left brain. And this whole other, like there's so much that can't be explained by the left brain. And so much experience and, you know, people who I don't need other people to believe it. But once you experience it,
yeah,
you know, I just have your own experience. Exactly. You can't go back. Have your own experience
back in the bottle.
And then, you know, do with it what you like. However, if you've had an experience that's confusing and you're looking for help, there are people out there who can support you. So,
yeah. Totally.
So with that, Nancy, so, you know, I love that you've come from, you know, the science side, the very practical side, you know, so many people that we get to talk to who really have these kind of profound experiences really do. And I think, you know, that your awakening journey and your soul's like, yeah, I'm going to come in this way so that when I hold this experience, like, it's almost like you need to have that, not skepticism, but like, I want to be here so that when this happens, I actually take it really seriously when it lands and I'm in there going, well, actually, this is, you know, so you get to be the powerful practitioner that you get to be because you can hold both, you know what I mean? And you see the other side in a way that you've got this lens from that, you know, more left side brain part of you to be like, okay, this is truly amazing. With your experience of, you know, coming into this energetic world and, you know, many people, I guess, as we awaken, we might have a sense of energy. We've heard about it, but, you know, for the most part, you know, we don't see it. We can't really quantify it. What do you want people to know about energy and like how it really is a big part of our lives and how we can work with it?
Wow. Well, first, you know, it's not scary. There's nothing to be scared of. It's actually quite, so again, kind of my left brain wants to come in and say our cells produce energy. ATP, you know, mitochondria, like science has studied energy is a thing. So coming from like, yes, there is that level of energy. And then there's the energetics of how things work together. I can't see whatever voodoo magic is helping us be connected in California and Mexico and Japan right now, but it exists. And here we are. Mm-hmm. And guess what? How many people doubt that? You pick up your phone and the whole world is in this little box. How does that even like, okay, crystals, energy from metals and airwaves and like, okay, right? Mm. So there's that, I heard you say something like, well, we can't see it. It's, you know, it's not so tangible. So therefore people will say it must not be real. And yet here we are walking through our everyday believing in miracles because, you know, of the technology that we're using. And yes, it could be like ultimately broken down and explained into science. But I just think what's so cool these days is that we have developed the technology these days to measure some of the things, heart field, you know, fascia, acupuncture points, you know, the whole realm of metaphysics and the way that we can now measure the effect of meditation on a device in a Faraday cage on the other side of the world. right? That someone can affect the temperature of that device by meditating on it and getting it. Like, there's just so much cool things happening. So what if you just suspend your disbelief for just a moment and allow your childlike sense of curiosity and wonder to come out, integrated with your wise, discerning self, and just see what magic happens? Just see if you can just get chiseled through that ego a little bit, just break back into that childlike sense of wonder. And again, I'm not saying naive trust. I'm saying discerning trust. And just see what happens. What if you just walk through life as if energy can support you, right? As if there's magic all around.
Yeah. And I love the way you describe it as like your wise discernment, because it's like, you know, that and our childlike wonder, what a beautiful marriage and combination to, you know, experience the world in a completely different way, a bit more open, a bit more like, actually, this is a really exciting experience to have. And we could have an even more exciting one if we're like, what else is here? What else is here? And if I'm like, you know, leaning into that, what more can I experience? You know, and I think that's what we open to through having our awakenings and these experiences, is like, there is literally magic happening here. And when we are allowed to, or allow ourselves to open our minds to that, like, life changes in a really beautiful way. And the healing that can happen and the growth that can happen is just profound.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got like crown tingles as you were speaking, just truth tingles. And I just want to say that life still happens. Life still gets lifey. Bad stuff, crazy stuff happening all around. And that's still true. And what we just said is also still true. Because I can see the cynics or the, you know, they're like, well, if that's true, then why, you know, and then I experience this breakup or this bad thing in the stock market or whatever, you know, a family member dying or a beloved passing or whatever, all of it gets to exist. And I, for one, would rather live in a world where there's also some element of support and magic and deeper connection between hearts and souls and bodies, so that I'm resourced and nourished when the rest of the stuff is hitting the fan.
Yeah.
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 I love that you mentioned suspending our disbelief, because I just had it yesterday. I don't know if you remember what I was listening to, but it was talking about, I understood quantum, like particles and quantum waves. For the first time, I never really got what it meant, but I was talking about the observer effect and how, was if a wave is observed, like it becomes a particle, right? Yeah. And really, what I took from that is the wave is an infinite amount of possibilities of what could be, but however we interact with that wave is the point, and it's. We have the experience of what we believe, what we bring to the situation. And so it's up to us to work with it, right? To be aware of our frequency, be aware of our beliefs, be aware. And we get to have the experience along the wave in terms of how we meet the wave. And so that was like a moment of like, oh yeah, that's really what it means in terms of like how I can be faced with the same situation at two different times in my life. But because I'm a different version of myself, I receive the experience differently, or two different people can be faced with the same circumstances, but how they experience it can be can be in two different ways because they meet the situation from a very different energy, frequency, belief system. And so, yeah, if wherever we are, we get to just trust a little bit more or be a little more curious. And the more we do that, the more experiences, magical experiences we encounter and we have. And then we start believing more. And it just feeds this experience of connecting with this energy that is there. But we can't necessarily see it when we're so in our 3D reality of, you know, the hardships of what can be happening. We experience it much more differently than otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I love that reflection on the particle and the wave and your new way of seeing it. That's really, really sweet.
Well, so Nancy,
I do want to say one last thing about energy is there are really practical energy medicine tools that I use so many times throughout my day. I've done them so many times now, all I have to do is think about it and it creates the same effect. But they're like the hookup to bring me back to center. You know, there's, you know, we sometimes do this unconsciously, just bringing all of our fingertips together to kind of integrate and bring left and right halves together. There's so many simple tools. There's some, you know, there's some feminine embodiment practices to move energy through the body. I hesitate to use the word tantra because it's so bastardized in our Western society. But, you know, there's some ancient energy practices that can really move energy through the body. It can help women through cycles. It can help, you know, bring pleasure through our bodies. It can help energize parts of our bodies, open our hearts, like open our way of seeing. So there's just so many ways of practicing. And as a sensitive soul, one of the most practical ways I used was just kind of learning to create the boundary of me and you, because I would always go and be over here feeling someone else, feeling and responding and, you know, being in their field and thinking it was me until I stepped away. And then I'm like, what just happened? Why did I even say that? Why am I here? I didn't want to be here. Like, oh, they wanted to come. So I came and I thought I wanted to. So there are a lot of resources and ways that you can utilize energy to improve dynamics in your life, in your body, in your health, in your relationships. You know, we could just go on and on and on. So I'm going to leave it at that for now.
I'm just going to say that that speaks to is that there's always something that we can do to step out of hard places in our life. And really, it can be something so simple as bringing your hands together and I've been in places where I felt stuck or hopeless or how am I going to get out of this state? And a lot of times it's just surrendering and something coming to me is like doing something different than the normal unconscious pattern that shifts everything. And it's like, wow, we have this power to redirect our lives when we are in a place of struggle and having tools like you're speaking of, it's like, wow, we're powerful. It's simple and we're very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A good pattern interrupt, always helpful.
But I think you really just highlighted there, Nancy, is like, you know, we don't necessarily need to have like go out and find something to help us. Like we are energetic beings. So it's like, how are we working with our own energy to help us feel a different state? And like you said, like that is such a powerful position. Like I literally feel a difference when I sit and do that. I find myself sometimes do that in meditation or just, I don't know. I love that particular, you know, hand gesture. It just makes me feel really good. And, you know, so people playing with that, because I don't think we really appreciate actually how powerful our bodies are. Like you said, you know, in our opening, we do the meditation and our heart coherence, like we're setting ourselves up to be connected in the same frequency. And how, when we're aware of those sorts of things, it changes our relationships with people, our experiences of our life, and really embracing the fact that energy is a large part of who and what we are. As we said, like down to the fact that, you know, even our cells are giving that off, that, you know, every part of who we are is a cell. So our physical body is like one jam-packed thing of cells. So we're giving off a field and, you know, we can play with that. And we talk a lot about our frequency and our vibration. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here is like the health of the system through the work that you do, getting that to be vibrant and aligned and integrated means that we're giving off like a different energy. And really, this again, we keep coming back to why we do this healing work, why we, you know, seek out people like yourself and do these modalities is to feel that sense of wholeness, completeness, that, you know, healing. Because it changes our frequency, our vibration, our energy, the way that we interact with others. There's, you know, so many beautiful benefits to what we're doing. But anything else you'd like to share around your work and, you know, that you want people to know and otherwise, you know, just what it is you do with people so that they can learn more about it and potentially reach out to you.
Well, thank you. I'm just like, you know, as you're speaking, I'm just feeling the energy of all your speaking, which is such a delight to sit in, like, yes, to more spaces mm-hmm. where frequency and coherence and heart space like are a part of what it is we're doing and how we're connecting. And like, what a beautiful salve for the world if more and more and more and more and more of that is happening everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. wow. Imagine all the people. Okay. I am a bit of a dreamer. So.
Yeah, me too.
We have to see what's possible, right? Like for to go there, we have to imagine it, right?
Well, and it's how I keep myself going and from going into complete overwhelm and shutdown when things feel so big and so wrong and so, mm-hmm. you know. Also, bringing people together to teach them this tool, these tools is a part of that. So, you know, I, for one, want to empower people to be able to take care of themselves. And we are humans, so we are meant to both co-regulate and self-regulate. Some of us are really good and want to try, I do it all myself. I don't need any help. I don't do groups. I don't, for whatever made you that way, it can be different, but whatever made you that, think you're that way. And then others are more codependent, can't do any, you know, they have other people to do the things for them. And so this is really about creating a healthy, you know, we talked about nervous system regulation and balance. So particularly in my resourced energy mastery program, we learn a lot of these tools. We both have opportunities to self-regulate and co-regulate, to find tools for each of our nervous systems to really feel what resources and what nourishes our individual system, and to know, like, I'm an introvert, so I need connection, but not too much, and I need to recharge. And so learning how to both honor that, feel it, honor it, and communicate it in a healthy way, right? So these are all tools to really navigate the world successfully as someone who's awakened, as someone who's a sensitive, as someone who's empathic. So the Resource Energy Mastery Program, that one is for women, is one of the places where we do that. And then I have an aligned membership, which is for all genders online, online wisdom center for the body, where we do some of the physical movement. I am still doing like fascial release work and Pilates and deep core. So we're working on the core integrity that's needed in the body to support these higher level upgrades. Because I know you've all heard stories of someone having their awakening and everything completely like falling apart. Because both their nervous system and their physical body, their inner world wasn't structured to support the level of frequency that was now running through them. Too high voltage and too small a wire, if you will. Mm. So, you know, starting with the foundation of the physical body, I was also in health and holistic health and doing, I was coaching people through holistic health and wellness before functional medicine was defined as functional medicine. So, you know, that was part of the foundation. And I still do some of that work. It's less of what I do these days, but it when it comes up for people, like in the individual work that I do, the core intelligence coaching, the one-on-one, the 3-month containers I was talking about, you know, we meet people where they're at. So if that level is what needs, you know, we kind of do an assessment and see where do we need to prop up the system to actually create and support that wholeness. So mm-hmm. you can find all of it at my website. I know you guys have links. All the information is there and you can contact me there as well if you like.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, and there's some free gifts there for you. If you go to the homepage, you can get the resource activation kit and get some free resources.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your work just sounds, you know, it's important work. I think the sense of wholeness, right? Our body is a big part of this journey. And in reality, it is always going to be involved in the healing that we're doing. You know, I think that's what I've come to really understand as I've been through my own awakening journey and learning about energy is like, they're not separate parts, you know, it all affects the whole. And as we've mentioned in this podcast, like it could be an entry point might be through your health. The entry point might be through, you know, working with the ego, but essentially once we do that, we're affecting the whole system and really starting to understand for people that we are, you know, there is a system here. It's not the separated parts like Western medicine might have us believe. We're not a mind, a body, something separate. Everything affects the whole. And I think, you know, yeah, bringing the body into it is such an important piece and like how profoundly movement can be healing for some things that, you know, otherwise might seem like impossible to shift and heal. And so thank you for doing the work that you're doing and creating the pathway that you created for people to experience something different.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You know, my own journey, you know, I think that's where how a lot of us got to where we are. This has just been my own journey of healing. And I'm like, well, if I need it, I guarantee other people do too.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah. It's a real joy to get to know you both and to share this time with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We'll have all the links to everything that you mentioned and your free resources. So anyone listening can check out the show notes for that. So thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Amanda. And thank you everyone for listening. You're welcome. We'll join you all in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so you can be notified when new episodes are released. To learn more about today's guest and view all the resources mentioned in this episode, visit our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and visit the episode page for this conversation. You can also go directly to the episode page by clicking the link in the show notes, wherever you are listening or watching this. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.